Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Well, welcome to the Side Action Podcast. We are back for Season 2, Episode 1. I am Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, back again for Season 2. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, man, we had a big summer, you and I. A lot of changes in our lives, but we are still doing the podcast strong. So,
yeah.
What's going on with you?
I can say that the podcast was on life support there for a little while. I know a lot of the loyal listeners were asking us, are you guys still going to be podcasting? Are you going to do it across the country? Because as many of you know, maybe a lot of you don't, I have relocated for work now in the Detroit, Michigan region.
That's right.
A mere 400 miles away. So if there's any hiccups here on episode number 37, Season 2 debut, we can blame it on the long distance.
That's right.
We're going to make it work, though.
Full Skype mode this year, unless you're in town or I'm over there or something. But we'll make it work. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to try and stick together through and through, see how this goes. Long distance relationships can be tricky, but I have high hopes for us.
That's right. That's right. Thankfully, it's not a romantic long-distance relationship. You know, those rarely work, but you never know. For me, as many people know, you know, the dating by Weg stuff, I took a hiatus this summer. Did legally get divorced, still waiting on some of the finality of it to transfer the assets. Mm-hmm. So it's been a kind of an interesting, rough summer. And it's not out in the ethos yet, but I also have a new job, even though I'm staying local, but I'll be traveling quite a bit for my job, maybe to Detroit, who knows.
All right, we'll be lucky to have you.
That's right. So a lot of changes for the co-hosts of the podcast, but we're going to give you the same good content we gave you last year, maybe even a little bit better, and maybe a little more streamlined. We've discussed it a little bit. We focused a lot in the college season on college football and NFL football, but you know, maybe not as much on other sports, but we're obviously open to our listeners' suggestions if they have interest in other sports out there.
Absolutely. I think you and I have talked, as we evolve in our sports gambling careers, side careers,
mm-hmm. That's right.
We're trying to learn and become better. And one thing that I've noticed is that I'm really crappy at soccer betting. So we decided that we're going to kick that off the podcast this year, and I'm mm-hmm. going to keep it out of my repertoire as well to see if I can increase that bankroll even further.
Absolutely. And I will say, just anecdotally, for myself, and we did discuss a little bit of golf and things like that through the and horse racing. I mean, we'll probably touch on it, but to be honest with you, I basically lost my bankroll on golf, horse racing, you know, so I did really well in NFL, stick the NFL kid. And so that's kind of my mode. And I'm going to, you know, do a little bit more research on college. So I'll be a little bit better this year than I was last year. So that's my strategy. As we retouch here on Season 2, there's been a ton of legislative updates that we want to mention. There's a lot of states that are now legal, or at least they will be legal, to operate in the near future, including our own place, Illinois. Well, you're not in Illinois anymore, but it's always home for you.
That's right.
Illinois. So thank you, JB, the new governor. But also your home state, Indiana's on there. And Iowa, so we're surrounded. I saw that Maine's on the list. They need some action for 2020, but it's approved. And then Montana, New Hampshire, North Carolina, and Tennessee. That's 8 new states that bills have passed.
Incredible summer. It kind of worked out because we weren't recording and there wasn't a lot going on in terms of the world of sports and just baseball predominantly in the NBA finals. But there was a ton of action here across the houses in the U.S., and I know that the Midwest has a nice footprint here, or at least it will in the next few months.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully, I don't know about Michigan where we're at, we'll have to check for you, but go across national borders and go to Canada. And was it Windsor, right?
Yeah, it may surprise you to know that I've already done this research, and it appears that Michigan is going to be projected in 2020 And in fact, I was talking to a few guys over the weekend. Canada doesn't allow any sports betting except for across the river at Caesars. They allow you to input parlays only. So not something I'll be dabbling in. I'll probably just stick to my offshore accounts for this football season.
Absolutely. And you're got a few outs. You could do that on the offshore. Illinois, it's not going to probably be legal until January or so, but maybe for the Super Bowl, we can do that here.
I did read in an article yesterday that Horseshoe Hammond, just across the border from you, is expected to have their book open September 1st and be ready for the start of NFL season. So while not in Illinois per se, it's close enough, and I'm sure that I'll be stopping there on some of my drives back and forth.
That's right. It's a convenient stop on the way home. I would definitely do that. I know some people have, you know, go there already to gamble in general, but I'd make the trip for sure. I mean, it's close enough and get an account. I'm sure they're going to do. You talked about it. They're doing online as well. Yep. They have an app. So
Although
just get across the state line and
it doesn't appear that online is going to be ready for football season. That sounds it may come a little bit later.
I gotcha. So to my tally, we have 17 states where legislation is passed now. And then there's two existing states, New Mexico and Oregon, where technically it's legal. New Mexico, I believe it's tribal lands or something. Oregon still has to work out some kinks in their lottery system to do it. So technically speaking, you've got 19 states where it's legal to sports gamble, which is really exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. And it sounds like that Iowa, just to add, is going to be ready for football season as well. Looks like they're going to take action on mobile wagers as soon as August 15th. That's tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow. That is great. They're a little bit ahead of Illinois in that regard, which doesn't surprise me in terms of the bureaucracies. But
right.
Well, just to jump into, you know, last year, as you know, our loyal listeners know, we do a head-to-head segment pretty much every week where we pick, you know, between, you know, two and four games head-to-head where Action and I pick against each other. And luckily, the novice came through on the season, 56-52-3 for the season. And so I take the crown and I get a steak dinner. Where are we going to do this steak dinner, Action?
Well, we're planning on doing it in Vegas, I think.
That's right.
We've got a trip planned for the opening weekend of NFL football season, although we're going to have to see what kind of reservations we can get. I don't know if there's any Steak and Shakes out there or Golden Corrals, but maybe we can hit up one of those.
Sizzler. So Action alluded to it. One of the big things we're doing this year that we'll talk about at length on our podcast this season is we're going to join one of the super contests at Circa, which is basically a new sports book that's going out in Vegas. And so we're taking that trip the first weekend of the NFL season. We are entering in the super contest, and we will win $1 million, won't we, Action?
Yeah, just to clarify, though, not the super contest that many of you have probably heard of before, but something very similar. This one's called the Circa Sports Million.
Oh,
and
perfect.
And the first prize for the season-long winner is $1 million. And the big thing with this contest is that the owner of the casinos, Derek Stevens, has pledged to put up $1.5 million regardless of how many entries he gets. And as of this morning, I heard on VSiN that they have 438 entries. So if you're doing the quick math there, anything under 1,500 is going to turn out to be an overlay, meaning that there's a better chance that you're going to win than there is money that is given away.
That's right. And what I understand the format to be, it's five picks in the NFL. They set the lines, spread bets each week. We have to put in the bets. And then the other interesting part about this contest is there's actually monthly contests within it. So not only is it a season long for the million, I think they're going to give away roughly 50 grand in a given month if you win a month. So let's say you come out of the gates really slow, but your second month is great and you're number one for the month. We'll win 50 G's. I'll take that.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, if they get over 1,500 entries, they're actually going to put that extra money into the quarterly prizes too. So it could end up being more than 50 grand per quarter.
That's right. So go ahead, everybody. Fly out to Vegas with us. You can hook us up on Twitter or whatever, and we can find you, and we can all enter the Circa contest together. We're really excited about it. Personally, as I may have mentioned on the podcast before, I've actually never been to Vegas on the Strip in my life. So it'll be a first-time trip to Vegas. Pretty excited about being at the at the books for that opening Sunday, which I think should be chaotic and fun. And yes, I'm taking the red eye back to work on Monday morning.
Bold move, Wags. You'll This is your first trip, so I don't think you'll know, but in the future, you'll probably rethink that decision on the red-eye flight home and working on Monday.
Well, absolutely, but I'm not burning vacation time on my new job, man. Come on.
True. That's true. Good point.
All right, well, let's jump into some content here. The first topic we want to talk about this week, as we are kind of previewing both NFL and college football in the next couple of episodes, is the NFL preseason. And you've got a lot of information here, and a lot of people, sharps anyway, they look at the preseason as definitely a moneymaker. I mean, I personally, as a more of a public bettor, I don't look at it as that much of a great opportunity, but why do you think it's a good opportunity, Action?
Well, I mean, I don't know if our listeners have been close to tune of the media over the past couple of weeks, but a few weeks ago, Trey Wingo publicly questioned why people would bet on the preseason NFL, saying that they were crazy to do so. And like you mentioned, a lot of the sharps love the preseason because you get more information from the coaches than you would on any other week of the year. They basically tell you the game plan, who's going to play, how they're going to set up, what they're looking to accomplish any given week. And so you can get a huge edge in some of these NFL preseason games.
And as you mentioned here in your write-up, there's a couple of big factors. There are certain coaches that really go after winning these games. And there's other coaches that don't give a damn, right?
Yep. Last week, a lot of people lined up to take the Colts and actually steamed them from a pick 'em at Buffalo out to a 3-point road favorites, all because of Frank Reich's 3-1 straight up record and 4-0 ATS last year. And as it has it, the Colts came out and laid a stinker. Andrew Luck didn't play, as we all know, and they lost in Buffalo 24-16. So turns out that was the wrong move last week.
Well, it's interesting, too, because Reich was a first-year coach as well last year, so that's not year-over-year data, which I've heard, at least on VSiN, that a coach like Atlanta's coach, this is Dan Quinn, he initially, when he first started off, had like a Reich-like record where he was way up, and now he's 0 for his last 8 or 10 or something. So sometimes they switch over because they have different priorities, basically, in the preseason.
Yeah, true. And you can also look at John Harbaugh, who has an incredible run at 30-15 ATS all time, and he's 18-3 in his last 21 games. And of course, another big move, Baltimore lined up last week against Jacksonville's 4.5-point favorites, and they crushed them 29-0. So in that case, maybe backing John Harbaugh and the Ravens in the preseason is a good move.
That's definitely a longer track record. It's obviously clearly what's happened over time. You've got a note about one of my guys. I do write a little bit on a blog once in a while about the NFL, especially the draft. And Daniel Jones, in my opinion, could be the worst pick of the decade for the Giants. What do you got him? He impressed, huh?
Yeah, Daniel Jones played well last week. 5 of 5, 67 yards and a touchdown for the Giants in the first quarter. And it was a great drive that he led them on and has got the Giants fans a little bit overexcited about the future.
I'm going to poo-poo on that. I'm sure that was against the second or third team, you know, that they were playing. But yeah, good for him. I'm glad he had a couple good throws there. And what about Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray played so-so, 6 for 7 and 44 yards, but the Cardinals were struggling to move the ball down the field, and that ended up being his only drive when he came out of the game. But Dwayne Haskins, the other rookie quarterback, did not fare so well. Threw two interceptions and badly overthrew one ball and badly underthrew another, and it looks like he has a lot of work to do.
It's going to be a rough year in Washington for sure. They don't really have, even if they go to Keenum, it's going to be interesting. We'll talk about that more in another episode. But it's interesting, last night, I don't know if you watched it, I watched Hard Knocks last night. Obviously, it's the Raiders this year. And what was funny was, in the first day, they had kind of joint practices with the Rams for 2 days, and then they didn't do the full preseason game Saturday or whatever. And in the first day of the practices, at least on screen, the Raiders got destroyed. I mean, they just got manhandled. And the second practice, they did a little bit better, and they actually won the game fairly easily. I mean, they won late to beat the Rams. But again, I mean, we know the Rams are better than the Raiders, right?
so, of course.
It was just one of these things that, how hard are the teams trying? You know, what is the motivation here? And how are they going to play their mainline guys? And, I mean, this next preseason game, you'll see more of the mainline guys. But for the most part, even when they play longer into the game, the motivation's low for a lot of these good teams.
Yeah, and I think the Rams, you hit it spot on. Sean McVay is clearly showing us bettors here in the preseason that he has no interest in winning these games. In fact, I think he came out yesterday and said that a bunch of players on the team are not even going to travel to Hawaii this week to face off against the Cowboys. So already that leads us into week two, where Dallas opened up as 4-point road underdogs to the LA Rams. And I have a feeling the odds makers didn't know this game was actually in Hawaii, because the bettors quickly steamed them 6.5 points, and now Dallas are 2.5 point favorites in some spots.
It's a lot of steam moves in these preseason games from what I see here.
Yeah, lots of moves.
Just to review for our new listeners, steam move in this case is when basically there's a lot of money, or usually sharp money, on a particular side. It moves the needle basically from the one side of the point spread all the way to the other, in this case, from the Rams being favored by 4 points, and now they're 2.5 point underdogs in this case. So that's kind of nuts.
Yeah. Before we get off that game, one angle that I do like this week is the under in that game. Last week, both the Rams and the Cowboys struggled to score points, scoring 3 and 9 between them for a total of 12. And this game opened up curiously at 42 and has quickly been bet down 41 as last I looked. And I'm going to be playing it under. When you also consider they're traveling to Hawaii, it's unlikely either of these coaches are going to look to exert their players too much out there on the field.
Right, exactly. It's a long trip. I guess you're just trying to spread the NFL again over there.
Yep.
You do have a note before we go into a couple other things here, is the pass interference penalties. You know, why don't you go over the differences in the rules this year?
Yeah, this is the first year the NFL instituted a new challenge ability on pass interference plays. And in week one of the preseason, a flag was thrown out or called down from the booth to review a pass interference 16 total times, which is about one per game. And 14 of those rulings were upheld or the call stood as it was on the field, and two were overturned.
So that's indicative that it was kind of a reaction to the Saints-Rams game last year, right, in the playoffs?
Exactly,
And that effectively this rule, even though people were up in arms thinking this was going to increase scoring or was going to get a lot of plays, it's going to, obviously, at least initially, they're only doing blatant mistakes so far, because if you're only doing 2 out of 16, that's a super, super low rate.
Yeah, in fact, I read in one game it was clearly pass interference, but the referee did not change the call because it did not appear the receiver was going to even catch it. And, you know, it was one of those uncatchable ball type of scenarios.
Interesting. One of the things we didn't put on here that I've heard on VSiN is that they're also reviewing a lot of holding calls, I guess, or there's an emphasis on holding. So it's likely that early in the year there's going to be a ton of holding calls, which we can talk a little bit more in the NFL preview, but that could have an impact on scoring, like bringing the scoring down this year because of all those holding calls.
Yeah, absolutely, especially on first downs. If some of those offenses that are going to struggle to begin with get set back 10 yards because of this impetus to call holding, then it could certainly reduce scoring.
That's right. So when we look ahead this week, you've mentioned already the Dallas Rams action there. I already mentioned this. Didn't look at this part of the outline. Falcons, Dan Quinn is terrible in the preseason. He's 4-13. And you've got them opened up as 1.5 point favorites at home versus the Jets.
Yeah, I expected that number to move a little bit, to be honest, with bettors looking to fade Atlanta. But it's possible that some pros and squares alike are expecting Atlanta to bounce back after they lost their first two preseason games. Perhaps they're going to come out and think, well, we got to get one. And they're at home this week in Atlanta as well.
We'll see how that goes. And the last game is your favorite team, the Colts. The Colts and Cleveland are playing. They got joint practices this week.
Yep. That's another angle that I've read and heard a lot about, is some of these teams who are playing against each other week in and week out on the practice field, then come to the game later in the week, and they have essentially exerted tons of effort. And a lot of times these games stay under the total. And I think that this one was set particularly high, especially considering that Andrew Luck is not going to play. Was announced today he's going to be held out at least until week one. And this total is set at 43, which is, I think, is a little bit too high, and I bet this one under already.
Okay, smart move, smart move. Andrew Luck, and we'll talk about that more. There's a lot of interesting things in the NFL in terms of what's going on in camps that we can discuss in the NFL segment, but Andrew Luck is one of them. It's just a mystery of science over there.
Yeah, I'll say.
right, well, let's jump into the big segment here, the college football preview part one. We're covering a couple of our favorite conferences in the SEC and Big Ten. We'll cover in part two the ACC, Big 12, and Pac-12, as you put, if we have to, for the Pac-12. I've got some angles for the Pac-12 this year. I'm excited to discuss it, but you're right. Maybe not the national playoff picture.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of those Pac-12 teams may have an outside shot at the playoffs. We have to see how that goes and discuss it next week.
Absolutely. So we'll start off with the SEC. We've got a lot of information here for the SEC. What do you want to jump into, actually?
Well, I mean, I think everyone out there knows that year in and year out, the SEC is the best college football conference in the nation. And I think it shapes up to be that way again this year. They've got three teams in the preseason top 10, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. And then Phil Steele, actually, who puts out a college publication, a magazine, actually has five teams in the top 10, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Florida. Make that four. And then he also has another six teams in the top 25 for a total of nine for the SEC. So every game in the SEC this year is going to be difficult, especially on the east side of that conference.
It's a stacked conference. It's been that way for a while. I do think, we'll talk about it in a minute, they're going to beat up on each other a lot. So it's not like the ACC, which we'll discuss next week, or Clemson, newsflash, they'll probably run the table again. Yep. As good as Alabama may be, they've got tough games. And so these guys, they're probably the best conference in America, but it's not like they're going to have two undefeated teams or something at the end of the year. It's just almost impossible to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's possible that one of these teams may be able to run the regular season, talking about Alabama and Georgia, that is, could run the regular season, but then they would meet in the conference title game. So you're right. One of them eventually has to lose.
That's right. Well, great segue. The first team we're going to talk about is Alabama. I mean, the classic college football. We've got the best coach. We've got the Belichick of college football there in Saban. So I've got their title odds at plus 275. And I did the division odds, not the conference. So
okay.
Minus 350 in the SEC West. Their win total is 11, which is crazy because they played 12 games. And right now it's actually shaded to the over. It's minus 155 to the over versus plus 135 to the under. What do you have to say about Bama?
Well, I mean, they're priced as the favorite in the SEC. I think I saw their title odds at minus 150 favorites here. And, you know, they're returning nearly everyone on offense who meant anything to them. They have their quarterback back in Tua Tagovailoa. And beyond that, this schedule is pretty easy early on. I think they may run into some trouble later on in the year where they have to go to Texas A&M. And then they've got those 3 weeks out of the last four where it's LSU at Mississippi State and then the Iron Bowl to close out the season at Auburn.
Right.
So if you're asking me, I'm not going to bet this team total, but I would probably play them under. I think there's a good chance they could lose at least one game, and that gets you a push. And then if they lose two of these, you can get some plus money there.
Right, absolutely. When I look at this team, you know, I looked up the recruiting classes, the number one recruiting class. They returned 63% of their production, as you mentioned, offense mostly. And, I mean, they're going to be great. And I did agree with you that the A&M and Auburn are their only really tough road games. They host LSU, but the big thing about this team is, you know, their non-conference schedule is a joke.
Yeah,
I mean, they're walking in with three wins before they even start the season, basically. So they've got to get the other, I guess it is nine wins, but to win the number. I would stay away, personally. But, I mean, if you want to make money, obviously, if you're okay laying the minus 350 on the division or minus 150 in the conference, maybe that's the angle you take. I would stay away from the win total personally. But.
Yeah. And I think to add to, Saban lost his coordinators again this offseason. So this is the third year running that he has to replace both the OC and the defensive coordinator. And I know Steve Sarkisian is coming back and they've had a little bit of history there, but he's obviously going to be new to Tua and the rest of the offensive players on this team.
That's true. They bring studs in every year, so they're just incredible.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. One area where they do really need to improve is explosiveness and defense. Last year, they finished the season 106th in the S&P Plus and defending explosiveness. And I think that was obviously shown by Clemson in the national title game. And it's something they'll have to focus on.
Interesting. Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, they went deep a lot. Clemson was killing them on the deep ball. Okay, the next team is Georgia. You know, this is a great team as well. I've got them at plus 800 to win the national title. And they're in the SEC East, and I've got them at minus 200 for the division. 10.5 wins, shaded to the over, minus 150, plus 130 on the under. I mean, to me, if you're going to have any value in the conference, because I think I got them at plus 275 to win the SEC, I guess it would be Georgia. They are a great team. The East, to me, is weaker. I know you said it's going to be tougher, but to me, it's weaker in my mind. They have a really easy schedule. They do play Notre Dame. I don't know if they're going to be as good. Florida on a neutral, and then A&M at home. They really just have Auburn on the road. So I really like Georgia, of course, to win the SEC East and maybe to take down Bama for the championship in the SEC.
Yeah, I agree. These guys are certainly going to be contenders. And they showed last year in the first half of that SEC championship game that they do not look down to Alabama. And they can definitely hang with them. And I'm sure that they're looking to get that chance to prove it again this year. They do get that sophomore quarterback back. I'm sorry, he's a junior, Jake Fromm. Returning, and then they also get a few of their rushing attack back in DeAndre Swift and Brian Harrion, and they're going to be formidable on offense again and probably on defense as well.
And they had the second best recruiting class, according to the magazine I was reading or the article, so they bring in the studs as well.
And Kirby Smart has shown that he can coach, and of course he likes to go toe-to-toe with Saban, his former head coach, so... It's going to be an interesting season in the SEC.
No doubt. The next team we've got is LSU. For the title, they're plus 2,500. The SEC West, plus 625. 9 wins for them is the total. Shaded to the over as well, minus 130, plus 110 to the under. To me, they have a tough schedule. If I'm going to pick against the team in the win category, it's LSU. First of all, they're at Texas, so they actually have a tough non-conference game there in week two. They're at Alabama. They do have a lot of home games with Florida, Auburn, and A&M. You know, LSU does have the fifth best recruiting class, but I just think last year we talked about our guy, Joe Burrows. I know that he may be getting better, but to me they won a lot of close games because of that defense. They did lose some guys on D. So if I'm going to target somebody in an under for that win total, it's LSU. That's me personally.
Yeah, I made some plus money there. I wouldn't fault you for that. They do have to lose 4 games to get you to the window, although 3 would be a push.
Right.
As you mentioned, we really ragged on Joe Burrow. Well, I really ragged on Joe Burrow last year, but he was awesome in that bowl game. They really opened it up and ran up 555 yards and easily their best showing on offense last year. And I expect that they're going to put that show on a little bit more this year, especially with the new offensive coordinator coming in. And they return a ton of players on offense, 8 returning starters on offense and 8 on defense as well. So 4 starters on the offensive line, which amounted to 76 career starts, and all 5 of their top wide receivers from last year. So I think they're going to be pretty good. As you mentioned, the schedule is really difficult. Although there's only a couple of tough road games in there. Texas, I think, is going to be important for that win total early on in the season.
Yeah, again, Texas and Alabama. You figure they'll probably lose at Alabama. Texas is the big game because they take that down. And like you said, worst, probably get a push in that situation. So next team is Florida. Got them plus 3,300 for the title, the national title, plus 350 for the SEC East. They're also 9 wins. This one's actually shaded to the under, though. Minus 160 to the under, plus 140 for the over. Their schedule, I don't think it's that tough, to be honest with you. They play Miami in week 1. We'll see how that works. But they have home games against Auburn, a neutral game against Georgia, and then they have Florida State at home. The only really tough road game is LSU. So it's interesting that it's shaded to the under in this case.
I wouldn't necessarily sleep on that road trip to Missouri late in the year, too. I think Missouri is going to be a good team this year behind Kelly Bryant. But I do agree with you. It's a fairly easy schedule. They're 7-point favorites to open the season against Miami. They should win that game, according to the odds makers. And I do think that their offense is going to be interesting to watch this year. Dan Mullen really likes to run and gun a little bit, and they do have their quarterback, Felipe Franks, back, plus five starters on the rest of the offense and a total of 8 starters returning on defense. So I do expect them to be a little bit better than they were last year. But as far as that win total goes, I'm probably not going to be betting on it.
It'll be interesting during the season to see how they play it up, because obviously that big game against Georgia always looms large. So we'll see how they're playing going into that game, because it may be Georgia a heavy favorite or something like that.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for them too, because they're playing Auburn, at LSU, then at South Carolina before that Georgia game. So pretty tough gauntlet there, 4 games in a row.
That's right. Auburn has better odds to win the title. They're plus 5,000, plus 625 in the SEC West. Their win total's pretty low, though. 7.5 wins, shaded to the over, minus 135, plus 115 to the under. It's probably because of this schedule. I'm looking at this schedule. They play Oregon in week 1 on a neutral. It's a quality opponent. At A&M, at Florida, at LSU. And then they have to play Georgia and Bama. So I guess that's why they're 7.5 wins.
Yeah, they really drew the short stick and getting Florida and Georgia from the East this year. Probably the most difficult schedule. In fact, Phil Steele has it as the number 2 most difficult schedule in the nation.
Makes sense. So that would make sense. That's why 7.5, although plus 115 to the under, that means they would have to lose a lot of games. Do you think any of these teams can challenge Alabama in the West?
I really think that LSU can. I know their schedule is tough and they're going to have to grind out some victories, but as long as Coach O doesn't drop the ball, I believe that LSU can get in there potentially and challenge with Bama. Obviously, they'll have to beat them head to head, but Auburn, I agree, is probably not there this year, although they're going to be very interesting to watch. They have a redshirt freshman quarterback named Joey Gatewood, who I've heard draws comparisons to Cam Newton, and they're expected to be pretty dominant on the ground. They're getting back 4 of their top rushers from last year, led by Booby Whitlow, and offensive line, too, which has a ton of experience with 104 career starts. So I look for this team to ground and pound quite a bit, much like the Auburn teams of old.
Nice. A team that I really liked initially when I was like reading up on them was Texas A&M.
Yeah.
The plus 6,600 for the national title, plus 1,400 in the SEC West. Their win total is 7.5, and you know, the shade of the over, minus 130, plus 110 to the under. I was like, oh, this could be a dark horse. But when I looked at this schedule, it's insane. Yeah. They play at Clemson week 2. They play Auburn and Alabama at home, okay, but then at Georgia, at LSU to finish the conference play. So unfortunately, I see at least the 4 losses, so it's not going to – I don't know. It's going to be hard to get to that 7.5.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for this team this year. 4th toughest schedule in the nation. They are getting 7 starters back on offense with quarterback Kellen Mond returning, who will be in his 3rd year playing behind this offense. And he doesn't blow you away. He only completed 57% of his passes last year for 3,100 yards. But the running back position is going to be a significant downgrade. They're losing Travion Williams from last year's team. And the offensive line is returning 69 career starts. Somewhat of a solid group, but I agree with you that I think they're more of a middle-of-the-pack team this season. Not quite as good as they were last year.
Right. I mean, we'll see against Clemson. That'll be a huge test game on the road at Clemson. I mean, they gave Clemson a run when they played them at home last year, but I don't know. You know, on the road will be a different story.
I'm very interested to see where that line opens up at, and I've already circled Clemson here in my little notebook.
Nice. Last 2 teams we're going to cover. First is Mississippi State. They're plus 10,000 for the national title. It's a long shot. Plus 2,200 in the SEC West. 7.5 wins as well. The shaded to the over, minus 145, plus 125 to the under. The thing to me with this team, it's funny, it's kind of like the Alabama model. They've got 4 just walkovers. Louisiana Lafayette, Southern Mississippi, Kansas State, who has a new coach. They're only slated for 5.5 wins. And Abilene Christian. So it's like they're starting off with four wins. I guess that's why it's shaded to the over.
I think you could say that about a lot of the SEC teams this season and every season for that matter. But you're right, a ton of cupcakes early on, which isn't really going to help them prepare for that SEC season. Like you mentioned, on the road at Auburn, at Tennessee, at Texas A&M, at Arkansas. That should be an easy one. But the interesting thing about this team is the quarterback transfer. Tommy Stevens came from Penn State, who worked with Joe Moorhead when he was on the staff at Penn State. And I think that this passing attack is probably going to be something to look out for with him behind center. They did return four of their top five pass catchers from last year. So they should have a pretty awesome air attack, and which is going to be quite a different contrast from last season.
Maybe it'll be more of an over team.
Yeah, potentially something that is worth a look, without a doubt.
Because they had that unbelievable defense last year, but they lost a lot of talent to the NFL on defense there.
Yeah, only four returning starters on defense, so they are looking to probably take a step back in that area.
Gotcha. The last team is Missouri. I don't have their national title odds because when I looked it up, I couldn't find it on BetOnline.
That should tell you something.
Yeah, they're not even rated. But they have eight. It's rated as eight wins. That's a lot of wins. And that's shaded to the over, minus 155, plus 135 to the under. As we just said, totally easy non-conference schedule. They're taking on Wyoming. And that's the old Mountain West over there. West Virginia, again, new coach there. Southeast Missouri and Troy. Again, probably four wins right off the bat. They do have to play at Georgia. But they get Florida at home. And their schedule's pretty easy in the SEC, as easy as it could be.
This is my one bet in the season win total department in the SEC. Okay. I did take Missouri over, and just simply because of the schedule. I mean, you mentioned it already. They could be 8-0 by the time October 26th rolls around after they play Vanderbilt and Kentucky at the end of all that. Sure. So they do have the Clemson quarterback transfer, Kelly Bryant, coming in to lead the offense. Mm-hmm. They're returning their leading rusher last year, Larry Rountree, and four out of their five top wide receivers. I view this going over the eight wins as a simple layup, and I would lay that even at 150, 155, but I'm sure if you shopped around, you could find a shorter number than that even.
Sounds good. Good plan. And again, with that offense, it sounds like they could be one of those over teams just because they're going to score a lot of points, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. They were last year as well.
Okay. All right, well, that closes out the SEC. We don't have to make picks if we don't want to. I mean, are you're going to stick with Bama and Georgia meeting in the championship?
Yeah, I don't see anything outside of that. And I do think that Georgia is going to beat them this year to take the SEC crown.
All right, this just in. Action making a bold statement. Yeah, I'm with. They're going to be really good. I mean, like I said, that's the angle I would take. It's plus money for them to win the SEC, so.
Yeah, I think I even saw 3-1 at one shop when I was perusing yesterday. Still a little bit short for me in my future bets. I like something greater than 10 or 15 in most cases. But sure. I do like Georgia.
Nice. All right, let's transition closer to home. We've got the Big Ten. To me, this is not to say it's the only year it's been wide open, but because of Urban Meyer leaving Ohio State, this gives hope to the rest of the conference. It's not that people couldn't get through the conference without beating Urban Meyer, but I'm really looking at Michigan, of course. But his loss is going to loom large for this team. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. This is the one year that Jim Harbaugh can have hopes of winning the Big Ten title. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Day steps in to take the helm at Ohio State, and it's going to be very interesting to follow this team and see how they handle that adversity, because they don't have their stalwart coach on the sidelines that kind of always brought them down to reality.
Mm-hmm. And I have them as their recruiting class was actually 14th, at least in this rating that I looked up, whereas Michigan is 8th. That's probably the first time that's happened since the Harbaugh era anyway. So it's, and they only returned 42% on offense for Ohio State. So I just think that that's because of the transfer and coach, and you'll see good talent on the field, but maybe not as good as under Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it's still better than a lot of the other Big Ten recruiting classes.
Oh,
but,
for sure.
I mean, this is Michigan's year. It all sets up. We'll talk about their schedule here in a minute. But if Harbaugh can't get it done this year, I think there's going to be a lot of folks here in Southeast Michigan who are ready for a change.
That's right. Let's jump into it specifically team by team. Ohio State, it's kind of interesting when you look at the title odds. They're plus 1,400 for the national title. They're plus 130 for the Big Ten East. There are 10 wins as their total. I've got them shaded to the over minus 120, plus 100 for the under. They've got a tough schedule at Nebraska. They play at Michigan this year, but they are at home for Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State. So that 10 wins, it's right on the number.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how that win total plays out. I would probably be looking to the under there, although this is not one that I plan to be involved with. Tough games. Nebraska is going to be looking for revenge from last year. Even Indiana sometimes plays them tough, and they have to travel to Bloomington this season. Cincinnati in week two. It's going to be a hell of a game, too. So Ohio State is not a team that I'm going to be looking to back a lot this year. I am interested to see how the quarterback transfer from Georgia, Justin Fields, steps into the role. He hasn't proven much in Athens over the years, and obviously he lost the job to Jake Fromm last year. But right. I've read reports that he was terrible in the spring game and not really the same passer that Haskins was last year.
Interesting. That's a big factor. So the second team is Michigan, which I think is interesting. They're plus 1,200 to win the title, at least according to Bet Online. That's the national title. But they're plus 150 to win the Big Ten East. So 9.5 wins is their total, way shaded to the over, minus 190, and then plus 165 to the under. They have Wisconsin and Penn State on the road. They're home against Iowa, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. So obviously there's some little bit of disparity between the national title odds and the division odds, but obviously people are liking the over on that 9.5.
Yeah, clearly I think that we've missed the boat on the vig there. Laying 190 is a hard thing to do, but you could maybe look at some alternate win totals, see if you could find them over 10 or even 10.5 in some spots. And get that vig down quite a bit. I do think that they're going to be really good this season.
Yeah.
They're returning 8 offensive starters from last year, and they do have that offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, who's come into the fold, and all reports here in Michigan are saying that they are going to be an up-tempo offense-first team, which I'll believe when I see.
Right.
But the interesting question is going to be whether or not Harbaugh lets Gattis continue to run that offense throughout the season, even if they start out a little bit slow, which I predict they might against Army.
Well, right. Army's one of those under teams. Yeah, I've heard that, too, that they're going to go away from that 3 yards in a cloud of dust thing that they've done for the last few years. But, you know, to me, Michigan's bringing in talent. You know, their recruiting class is really good. Besides the quarterback, we'll see what they can do. The defense is usually really good, although they lost a lot of talent to the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think this is their year. If the Khakis can't do it this year, Action, it's not going to happen.
I agree. It's got to be done. They did lose their top rusher last year, although they returned nearly everyone back on offense beyond that. Chris Evans, the tailback, and their wide receiver, Nico Collins, and Donovan Peoples-Jones returns too. So I'm looking forward to watch this offense play. But you're right, we shouldn't sleep on the defense either. They were phenomenal last year.
Really good, except against Ohio State.
Yeah.
All right, the next team, and I got to say, I have a big crush on this team for some stupid reason. Nebraska, plus 6,600 to win the national title, plus 275 to win the Big Ten West. Their win total's 8.5, shaded to the over, minus 115, and then minus 105 on the under, so it's kind of a disparity there. They really don't have a lot of tough road games. They play at home against Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. I'm all in on this team for the division. I've already bet them. And see if I bet their – yeah, I didn't bet their win total. I didn't want to pay minus money, but I did bet the plus 275 to win the Big Ten West.
Okay. Well, the hype train has gotten a little bit out of control on the Cornhuskers. It sounds like you're drinking the corn as well.
The corn Kool-Aid, that's right. Ethanol.
But they definitely have a lot to look forward to. They're obviously returning their star quarterback, Adrian Martinez, this year, who looks to be healthy by all accounts. Right. And they're returning 7 total offensive starters on that side of the ball. And I think that they should improve. There's no doubt about it. The schedule isn't that daunting. But one game there towards the end that I'd like to point out where I'll be fading them is at Maryland. It's tough sandwich spot. They play Wisconsin at home on late November, then travel to Maryland before their final game with Iowa. So don't sleep on that one. They also have to travel to the Purdue Boilermakers.
That's right.
This team has not won 9 games in many years in a row, and I don't think that they're going to do it this year either. So if I would be looking to bet this win total, it would be under and nothing else.
Okay.
But it still could get you that Big Ten West crown.
Right. The West is not as good as the East for sure. Let's go back to the East. Penn State is plus 6,600 for the national title, plus 600 for the Big Ten East. Also 8.5 wins for their win total, shaded to the under minus 115 and then the over minus 105. They have a lot of tough road games. I mean, they're playing at Iowa, at Michigan State, at Ohio State. They do get Michigan at home. What say you on this team, Ashton?
Well, I'm down on Penn State this year. Very tough schedule. And they're playing in that Big Ten East where they have to travel to some of the contenders. Michigan State at Maryland, again, is not going to be easy. They're going to Ohio State. They do have some cupcakes at home outside of Michigan. But James Franklin really kind of did a disservice in my mind last year in that Ohio State game. And I think I've taken him down a peg or two in my coaching rankings. And they really did lose a lot. They have a new quarterback coming in. McSorley's gone. John Clifford, a sophomore, will step in at quarterback, and he's really an unproven guy. And they lost their running back, too, Miles Sanders, to the NFL.
Sure.
So they have a lot to replace on this team. And they do have 6 starters on offense coming back, as well as 6 on defense. But I look at them as having a down season, and I would probably play this win total under.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a tougher year. It's just a loaded division with Ohio State and Michigan, and then unless they're on top of their game, I mean, they're going to be, 4 games, no problem. They could lose 4 games. So now we got Wisconsin. Wisconsin's plus 8,000 to win the national title, plus 350 to win the Big Ten West. 8 wins on their total, shaded to the over minus 140, plus 120 on the under. Wrote that over twice. They do have tough games at Ohio State, at Nebraska, but they get Michigan, Michigan State, and Iowa at home, which is helpful. The Badgers are tough for me. They're really close to Chicago. They're a solid team, but it's just tough to root for this squad. They never can come through in the big moment for me, especially in the Big Ten title games.
Yeah, I mean, last year, if you recall, both of us were really high on the Badgers, mostly because of that offensive line where they were returning everyone. It was supposed to be like the greatest offensive line ever. But it didn't come to fruition, and I think the question mark for this team has been and always will be, in my mind, at the quarterback position.
Right.
Last year, Hornibrook couldn't get it done, and now this year it looks like they're going to be turning to a true freshman, Graham Mertz, and it may beat out the other incumbent, Jack Cohn, and that's the question on this team. Everything surrounding the quarterback is great. They're returning arguably the best running back in the country, Jonathan Taylor, who ran for over 2,200 yards last year. That offensive line is going to be good again this year, but they're going to go as high as that quarterback will take them. And I don't think I'm going to be betting on it either way. I don't like them to win this division, and I probably will stay away from the win total.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, then Michigan State, they're plus 10,000 to win the national title, plus 500 to win the Big Ten East. Also win total of 8. Shaded to the over minus 145, plus 125 on the under. They have tough games at Ohio State, at Wisconsin, at Michigan, and they have Penn State at home. Don't love that schedule at all. 8 wins is actually a really solid number because they probably will definitely lose 4 games. I don't really like them for the division. It's tough to say. I mean, they're always a solid team and they'll surprise you, but I'm not in love with Michigan State this year either.
Really?
Yep.
I am. This team probably my favorite pick out of the Big Ten. I don't think that they're going to get anywhere near the Big Ten championship, although that wouldn't surprise me in the least. But they're returning 9 players on offense and 8 on defense this year from a defense that was arguably one of the better ones in the country last year. They stopped everyone that was put in front of them, and they are going to be even better this year. Again, a question mark at quarterback, but I think Brian Lewerke, who was a true freshman last year, showed a little bit of mettle and battled some injuries. And I expect that he'll step up this year. And then across the offense as well, they're getting Connor Hayward, running back, back. LJ Scott did leave the program. but returning receivers, returning offensive linemen, this team is set up to have a big bounce back year. And if you look back at the Michigan State results over the last 3 years, they've had an off year followed by a great year. An off year followed by a great year. In 2016, they were 3-9, bounced back in 17 to 10-3. And then last year, 7-6 was the record. So I think that they'll eclipse this win total with ease.
Okay.
And 8 wins is a slam dunk for me. I bet it already, and I would still bet it again at 145.
All right. Go for it. Well, I mean, I'm not saying they won't do it. That's definitely – I guess I'm looking at they're going to lose to Ohio State, probably lose to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those are the 2 games. That's 10, and then – they'll lose another one somewhere in there. They'll make the 9 wins. So you're right. Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
At Wisconsin's going to be no cakewalk, and they play at Northwestern this year as well. So
sure.
A couple of tougher road games, but I am going to be looking to back them on the spread a lot this year, especially if they're underdogs catching points.
With that defense, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's finish out this conference. We have Iowa. They're plus 15,000 to win a national title, plus 475 to win the Big Ten West. 7.5 wins, shaded to the over, minus 150, and then plus 130 on the under. They play at Iowa State, at Michigan, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, and they're home against Penn State. So I see a lot of losses on their action. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure if they get to the 6 losses, but they're definitely going to lose at least 4 or 5 of those games.
Yeah, really tough schedule, and I think you're right. This win total that was put up by Vegas reflects that 7.5 wins there. You're right. It's probably not a number that I would bet under, though, at this point.
Right.
But, man, some tough road games in there,
yeah.
And I think that they're going to struggle a little bit. They've only got 6 players back on offense, starters back on offense, and 4 on defense. So it looks like they're setting up to have a little bit of a down year, but – Kirk Ferentz, year over year, he turns out 8-9 wins. So expect they'll probably do that again and be right in the thick of it for that Big Ten West, which I think all of these teams will outside of Illinois.
That's right. Yeah, he always surprises. He'll take down, especially at home, they'll take somebody down. But
yeah, true.
They don't play Ohio State this year. But
yeah, some really easy home games. Rutgers, exactly. Penn State, Purdue, Minnesota, and Illinois.
Win, 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 win. All right, let's talk about your alma mater, Purdue. They're plus 25,000 to win the national title. Did you put money on that one?
No, I don't think so.
They're plus 375 to win the Big Ten West. They have a total of 7 wins, but it's shaded to the under, minus 125, plus 110 to the over. They have a lot of tough games, too, at Penn State, at Iowa, at Wisconsin. They also play TCU in the non-conference at home, and then Nebraska. So, obviously, the Sharps are looking at an under situation for this team.
Yeah, I think you're right. I was watching this win total ever since it opened up, and it was about dead even on both sides. And like you said, it's inching closer towards that under now at minus 125. And I think it's due to the tough schedule and expected some regression from that offense. They only returned 3 starters on that side of the ball. Although Rondale Moore is set up to be all world again, it's really going to be coming down to the question at quarterback. Elijah Sindelar has proven himself over the years as a great, solid passer and protects the football. But the problem is he just can't stay healthy. He's been injured in every single season that he's played. And right now, behind Sindelar, we are looking fairly weak at quarterback. Jack Plummer, Nick Sipe, some guys I've never heard of behind him. So Rondale Moore is where this offense begins and ends. Their running game is going to be putrid. In fact, I think Phil Steele had them ranked in the bottom 10 of rushing attacks this season. So they're really going to have to try and get creative, and Jeff Brohm will put that mind to good use and hopefully find Rondale Moore in some space to win some games. But I think that offense is going to take a step back, without a doubt.
No doubt.
And, on the other side of the ball, though, I mean, the defense can only get better from where they were last year. They are returning 9 players on defense, so I expect they'll improve a little bit there.
Yeah, 9 of 11, that's great. The last team I mentioned, just because they always surprise us, is Northwestern, plus 25,000 to win the national title, plus 550 to win the Big Ten West. 6.5 wins is their total, shaded to the under, minus 130, plus 110 on the over. They play at Stanford, at Nebraska, But they do get Michigan State, Ohio State, and Iowa at home. Any thoughts on Northwestern?
Not really. Just like you and I had talked about earlier today, I think that they're set up to take a step back from last year. They lucked out to quite a few wins, close wins, in that season last year. And I don't expect that they'll be able to back that up again this year. I'm probably not going to be betting under 6.5, though. I will be looking to fade them in a lot of spots, though, if I can.
Right, on a week-by-week basis.
Especially as a favorite. Over the years, Pat Fitzgerald and his teams have not performed well when they're in the favorite role, but they do play well as underdogs. So that's something to keep in mind throughout this season.
Right, exactly. So this conference, to me, it shapes up to be a Michigan-Nebraska Big Ten championship game. And I do like Michigan. I like Michigan in the Final Four this year. I'm already putting it out there.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that next week, but I do like them to make it to the Final Four for the first time with the khakis. I'm putting the jinx on you, Harbaugh.
One team that we didn't touch on that I would like to hit on is the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Whoa, all right.
PJ Fleck is one hell of a coach, and he's coming back this year with a boatload of returning talent. They've got 9 offensive starters coming back and 7 on defense. And their schedule actually shapes up to be some winnable games. Non-conference is nothing to scare you. They do have to go to Fresno State in week 2. Mm-hmm. But then at home, they get Nebraska, Penn State, and Wisconsin. And their only real tough road games this season are at Purdue and at Iowa. So I think that they are shaping up to be in a very good spot to win a lot of games. They have their season quarterback back in Tanner Morgan this year. And they return all of their top receivers from last season, as well as most of their rushing attack. Muhammad Ibrahim, Bryce Williams, Seth Green, all the running backs return. I think this team is set up to scare a lot of people this year. And I actually took a flyer on them to win the Big Ten championship at 20-1. Expecting in the tight Big Ten West, if they can do some damage and sneak into that Big Ten championship game, then I could lay off them and cash some money there before the game even starts.
Gotcha. Do you know what win total is?
Win total is... Did not write it down. No.
Okay, that's okay. Well, it might be an opportunity to go over on their win total since you're so bullish there. So you think they're going to take down my Corn Huskers, my Corn Kool-Aid, huh?
I do. Yeah, okay. And in fact, my other bet in the Big Ten was, I mentioned earlier, the Michigan State over 8 games.
Right. So you have Michigan State over the 8 games, and then your Minnesota to win. Well, that's the Big Ten, right?
Correct, plus, yeah.
Okay.
20-1. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? That's good value. We'll definitely do a head-to-head Minnesota-Nebraska when that week comes.
Wow, we'll see. I'm not committing to anything right now.
Pencil that in. All right, well, that wraps up the Big Ten. A lot of teams, both the SEC and the Big Ten, that we've covered. We will cover the other conferences, the big conferences, next week. And the ACC, the Big 12, and then Action's favorite Pac-12, and then cover maybe our Final Four picks for the national championship.
Yeah, and then going forward with our schedule, we'll finish up college football next week, and then the week after that, we'll probably jump into some NFL preview and likely look ahead to the week 1 college football games. I think that'll be leading right into Labor Day.
That's right. Labor Day, and then we'll be in Vegas the weekend after that.
Off and running. Looking forward to it. Another season of the Side Action Podcast. Hopefully it's back and better than ever. Love to keep these listeners around and hopefully drum up some new ones here across the nation.
That's right. We got to spread it to Michigan and beyond. Maybe get over to Windsor, get some listeners over there and pass out some coasters or whatever we got to do. So, well, I'm Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for rejoining us for Season 2. Let's make this an amazing season. We definitely want your feedback. Both rate the podcast, of course. That helps, you know, you find us. But also send us some questions. You know, want to DM us or whatever on Twitter, or if you have some, or just add us on Twitter so we can get some questions to add to the mailbag for next week or weeks ahead. And we really like the interactive nature of the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, we have a Gmail too, sideactionpod@gmail. You can submit questions that way as well.
Well, thanks, everybody. We'll look forward to next week.
All right. Peace out, everybody. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.